Well, hello and welcome to the St Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts for 2021. Thanks for listening. It's Graham Bell here. Well, it's good to invite you all back again as we begin another series of podcasts. I think this is the third year now that as a church we have been putting out daily podcasts over the period of Lent, where church members and part of our church family can tune in and listen in, and many other people besides, just to begin each day of Lent with a short time of reflection and prayer as we turn and look at a passage from the Bible, as we reflect on what it might mean for us, and as we pray about it and bless our day to God. Lent, of course, is that period of 40 or so days before Easter, where traditionally Christians have got themselves ready to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the sacrifice and that great act of love of Jesus on the cross, and then to celebrate his victory 3 days later as he rose again. And traditionally this time has been used for Christians and followers and believers in Jesus to take time to reflect on their own lives, and in particular their walk with Jesus, to take time to just review again and to be dealing with issues perhaps that come up, getting ourselves ready to remember Jesus' love for us and how we respond to that, but also a time of perhaps confession where, like spring cleaning a house at this time of year, we do a little bit of spring cleaning of our own lives, our spiritual lives, our thought lives, our emotional lives, or whatever. So I hope that you're willing to join us over these 40 days or so as we just begin to prepare to celebrate the greatest event that has ever happened in our world, and one which surely turned our world around. Each year we do this, we have a different theme. And the theme for this year's Lent podcasts is called Encounters with Jesus. And we're going to be looking at numerous passages in the New Testament of people who encountered Jesus while he lived and spent time on earth and moved amongst us. Many of the people he encountered, their lives were never going to be the same again, as he totally brought transformation or freedom or liberty. And it would be our prayer that as a church, as we reflect on these passages again, that we reflect on our own encounters with Jesus. And more than that, seek new and fresh encounters with Jesus as we contemplate and think about how he might want to come and meet with us even freshly during this time, and may want to speak new things into our lives or challenging things into our lives, where he calls us into growth and maturity, where he calls us into greater levels of his love and fellowship and friendship with him, as he calls us to pick up our cross afresh and follow him. Our first passage might seem like a strange one. It comes from Matthew chapter 2, and hopefully it will make sense when we reflect on it later. We're going right back to the beginning and thinking about Jesus' birth and his encounter with the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, this is what we read there. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Well, it seems like no time at all, does it not? Since we have been celebrating Christmas, we've been in lockdown ever since, and time has to some extent stood still. And so you might think it's a wee bit strange that here we are still reflecting on the Christmas passages, or certainly passages that have traditionally been read as part of the Christmas nativity story. But why should we just keep these passages for Christmas time? I chose this passage because, well, it's a good link between Christmas and Easter, as we're caught here betwixt and between the two great celebrations of the Christian church. I chose this story because, as we're thinking about encounters with Jesus, then certainly these wise men, however many they were — traditionally we say three wise men, but we don't really know — they were one of the first group of people to really encounter Jesus. And although he was still just a young child at this point in time, and didn't speak anything prophetically over their lives or give them any great inspiration or perform any miracles in their lives, I'm sure these men, their lives were never quite the same again from this whole experience of following the star across the desert and the plains, and encountering King Herod himself, and having dreams and revelation of stars in heaven, and warnings not to return to Herod. Yet I'm sure their lives were never the same again, their encounters with Jesus. But the passage also perhaps prepares us as we begin to prepare ourselves for Lent. It reminds us of a few things. It reminds me, for example, that Jesus always, when he comes and encounters us and encounters humanity, he always sidesteps and shortsteps us, if you like. He always catches us a wee bit unawares. He always comes a wee bit out of the norm to never quite conform to our expectations of him. And so it was, I mean, in this story, well, who would expect wise men from the east to be some of the first to understand that the Messiah had come and been born? But even the fact that these wise men head to Jerusalem, the capital city, to speak to Herod of the royal family, with the expectation that the newborn king would of course be born in the palace in the capital city. But instead, as we all know, he was born a few miles away in Bethlehem, in a manger, in an animal stall. I wonder when the last time is that Jesus has really surprised you and acted and moved in your life in a way that perhaps you didn't expect. I'm sure many people listening to this podcast from the church and beyond have perhaps been Christians for many, many years. And the danger with that is sometimes we begin to put Jesus in a box and think that we have him sussed and we have him all understood. The story, even of his birth, reminds us that Jesus is the one of surprises, who doesn't always act in a predictable way, but likes to surprise in unexpected ways. Maybe as we begin to prepare for Lent, we need to say to Jesus, Lord, come in our lives and break through the predictability, straitjacket sometimes we have put on you. Surprise us as you encounter us in these coming weeks. I chose this story as well because, well, it also shows us that right from the beginning, Jesus was the one who came to disturb and unsettle and change the status quo and turn things upside down. Begins with poor Herod, doesn't it? Here's a man who, history would tell us, was a man who had many psychotic and mental health issues, a deeply paranoid individual. And here when Jesus is born, verse 3 of the passage tells us when the wise men came to him, Herod was deeply disturbed. Of course he was disturbed. Here was a possible rival to his throne. Here was one who was going to come into his life and begin to challenge his dominance, where he felt that he had supreme control as king. And Jesus was coming as one who was going to unsettle him with real authority. We can all be a wee bit like King Herod over our own lives, can't we? And Jesus comes and says, will you allow me to dethrone you and begin to reign instead of you and begin to ask back some of the power you think you have as you bow and surrender to me? But Jesus comes to unsettle and disturb, to turn things upside down. We see that even in Mary's song when the angel Gabriel appears to her and she goes off and she meets Elizabeth, her cousin who's having John the Baptist, and she ends up singing that great song, the Magnificat we call it, where she says, God has come to his people, and those who are lofty and proud and on high places he will bring down. And yet the humble and the lowly he will lift up. Jesus comes to bring a kingdom that's a topsy-turvy kingdom, a kingdom that turns things upside down. And so again, let me ask each of us, and as I ask myself, as we prepare for Lent, are we prepared again for Jesus by his Spirit to still come into our lives and just turn things upside down, to reorder our lives into the way that he wants them to be? Even if that can feel confusing and disorientating at times. And lastly and finally, I chose this passage because of the gifts that these wise men brought. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold, we're told, reminds us that Jesus comes as king, like the gold in a royal crown. Frankincense, well, that was the stuff that was of the temple and burnt in the temple as part of the offering of worship there. Frankincense reminds us that Jesus comes to us as a priest, one who is going to stand in the gap, if you like, between ourselves and God, one who is going to stand in our place, one who is going to be a perfect priest, entering into our lives and our struggles and our temptations, and yet helping us to live the lives of holiness and goodness that God had created us to live. And myrrh, that awful present to give any newborn child. Myrrh, which speaks of death, the embalming ointment that covers the smell of decay. From his birth, Jesus very much came to die. And so this is a perfect passage, is it not, to link us out of the Christmas story and focus us towards the cross, to take our eyes away from the beauty and the magnificent excitement of the manger and to begin to turn us towards that hill of Golgotha where Jesus bled and died as a demonstration of God's love and commitment and freedom and victory for our world and for our lives. we set aside these 40 days of preparation for Lent, for celebrating that first Good Friday and celebrating the Easter miracle of Jesus defeating death. But for Jesus, the shadow of the cross was over his whole life from birth right through all the days of his ministry. He knew at the beginning what he had come to do, to lay down his life, he said, as a sacrifice and a ransom for many. Not coming to be served, but to serve. And all through his ministry, he sets his face resolutely towards Jerusalem, warning his disciples about what he's going to face there, and the suffering he's going to endure and the treatment he's going to experience, but setting his face like flint to the death that awaits him. Jesus calls us to follow him, and when he does so, he calls us to also live under the shadow of a different type of cross. If you want to be my disciple, he says, pick up your cross and follow me. Be willing to put to death the things in your life that are not of God, the things of your life that don't bring life, but actually speak of darkness and death and decay. We want to pick up our crosses afresh during this period of Lent. Jesus comes as King, the one who wants to reign in our lives. He comes as Priest, the one who wants to walk alongside us and stand in the gap and represent us before Father God in heaven. He comes as the one who died, as our sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, including our own pain and suffering and things we have done wrong. It would be my prayer, and I hope your prayer too, that as we begin this series of Lent, looking at the encounters Jesus had with individuals, that you and I would once again encounter Jesus as the one who comes to be King, as the one who is our Priest, as the one who is our sacrifice. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to commit these podcasts to you, and we want to, on the first day of Lent, commit this period of Lent to you, that as we begin to focus our hearts and our minds and our spirits on the whole Easter story and message of Jesus' sacrifice and crucifixion, as well as his victory and resurrection, that, Lord, you would come and have your way amongst us at this time, and that by your Spirit you would breathe afresh into our lives once more. And just as Jesus coming into the world unsettled and disturbed and shook up the status quo, Father, we ask that you would do that in our lives these coming weeks. We say, Lord, we allow you. We open up our lives. We give you your rightful place to come and shake us up out of complacency. Come and shake us up where we have grown perhaps cold and lukewarm. Come and shake us up where our spiritual lives have become a little bit predictable, and we no longer expect you to be a Spirit and God of surprises. Lord, come and have your way amongst us as we welcome the Spirit of your Son afresh in our lives and in our church, as King, as Priest, as Sacrifice. May you be a blessing be upon us today, whatever we are going to be doing. May we be aware of your Spirit at work, bringing further forth your kingdom in our lives. For your glory and namesake we pray. In Jesus' name.